Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. He is indeed Eric Hasseltine. Eric, how do you feel after your final road trip of the season?
It's good. It's always kind of sad because even though we have two games left,
no more hotel points.
Travel with. What's that?
No more hotel points?
Well, I don't always... There's a weird thing about hotel points because we don't actually pay our own bill like the team does, so we don't always get them. Now, the loophole can sometimes be where they may slip them into your account as if you get something out of the mini bar.
Can you put that on my account? Yeah, go ahead.
But, I mean, there's plenty of times where it's like, all right, I got a lot of work to get done. No, I don't really think $30 for a cheeseburger is relevant, but right now I need that hour of time, so let me just order a turkey sandwich here and, or whatever, and they deliver, and then you get points for that. So it's not that, but yes, close. I'll obviously, I see Rob Fisher in the summer, but during the season, that's my guy. That's my running mate. That's my dinner partner, my lunch partner. At the end of the day, when we have work to do at night, we flip on either a game or Dateline and pick a room and hang out and drink a couple of pops to call it a night. And
I can attest you guys are a good hang. When I've come on the road for Grizzly stuff, you're a good hang.
I would say great hang.
We try. We actually have I don't want to give away the keys to the kingdom. We both grew up as card collectors, and now my son is collecting cards. So we actually have this little tradition where we will buy two boxes of basketball cards at like Target, and then we play basketball card war. So you pick whoever your player that comes up first, and I mean, you can have a really bad day. I mean, you might pull an autograph card and that automatically wins, and then it could be against a LeBron James and you're taking home both.
Yeah.
So we have just find ways to entertain ourselves that don't include continuing to stay at the bar until it closes every night. So but that's not even that. It's the support staff. So, like our strength and conditioning folks, and analytics people that travel with us that sit right by you. I know during home games I rarely see most of them, and I knew last night was the last time I'd see a lot of them for a few months. One of our analytics people, she lives in Serbia, and I asked her what her plans were for. And last summer I had no idea one of our physical therapist got married, and I didn't have any idea that was coming. And then I enjoyed her, telling the tale of her wedding, and those things go away. And that's hard. It's the last night I really work with Michael Wallace too and Gary Darby, so that's hard. But I will say we have a bus that we kind of have some fun on the bus ride to the airport where we're kind of yucking it up, singing, laughing. And it was a little subdued last night. I was a little surprised it wasn't more lively, but I think everybody was just tired. So, sucked that it was a last night on the road because the TV truck guys are in there too. Those are really our family. And we try to have a last dinner on the road together, but that didn't really get to happen because this was the second night of a back-to-back. So, it kind of expected what happened to happen. They fought, they scratched, they clawed, they made Cleveland a little uncomfortable, and then Donovan Mitchell said, here, hold my Gatorade, I got this. So, and Evan Mobley was terrific, but happy for those guys because they're going, because that's like Grizzlies North now. It's like J.B. Bickerstaff, Sidney Lowe, J.J. Outlaw, Greg Buckner, Paul Robinson, who was with the organization, and the basketball side is kind of like a liaison, kind of like the player. Those guys are all there with J.B. And so you see that, and you're like, well, this is like a homecoming here, so good to see them. Tough to say goodbye, though.
Well, Eric, along those lines, I mean, this will be we won't talk to you again until after the season's over, after breakdown day and all that. And
right.
I thought Taylor Jenkins had an interesting quote. I think it was before the the game last or two nights ago, where he sort of was like, you know, it's hard to really, you know, make firm judgments about this season, just given how, from a personnel standpoint, how chaotic it was and how little you had actually what you thought you were going to have this year. And really, they never, ultimately, if you're including Brandon Clark in the conversation, they never had at any point this season the sort of roster that they intended to when they signed all these guys. And I'm curious, what have are you able to take anything away from this season, big picture for this team, or is it truly like a, you know, we keep calling it a gap year, and it's just like you throw it away and you just start where you were planning to start back when this season began, once it just as soon as this season's over? Like, what, when you look at the, how do you think you'll remember this season?
Well, I mean, funny thing is, I saw Taylor getting on the bus, and he looked at the equipment truck or the luggage truck, and because it was such a quick trip, most people just brought a carry-on bag. He's like, well, luggage truck looks really empty. I said, well, some of the guys didn't come with us because there was really no need to just fly to Cleveland and then, you know, sit and watch a game and then come back home and, you know, get treatment, get therapy, do whatever. And I said, yeah, but this is a season we're going to tell. We're going to tell the story for a lot of years. And he said, yeah, this is one where the grandkids said, you did what? That's so cool. What, did you get a championship? He goes, no. He said, they're going to think we did great things. It's not a record we wanted to set. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think the story that's told, I do think there's – I don't think you throw it away. I think it's a gap year. I don't think you're overly critical of management or the front office. We've had this talk all year long. I laugh when I see – you know, people that think they know everything about the game of basketball in the social media realms going, oh, I mean, the coach has got to be on the hot seat. In fact, the exact opposite, in my opinion. And it's because if you watch that team play, they never, for the most part, of course, you have an off night, everybody does. They never let go of the rope. He had their ear. And you want to talk about going on the fly with no practice time, and you talked about not being able to evaluate. Yeah, it's hard to evaluate when you don't have a point guard until you sign a guy that was in the G League, and then you're asking him to run the show, and he's going to make mistakes. These are mistakes he would be making in summer league and in training camp, but he's out there against the best in the world. And you look at a Gigi Jackson, who on consecutive games guards Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, De'Aaron Fox, Steph Curry. Okay, well, someone goes, well, what do you think he'll do in summer league? I said, probably just sit on the sideline and watch, like you and me. They're like, oh, you don't think he's going to go? I said, I'm sure he'll go. I don't think he'll play much. I don't think there's a need for it. Well, why not? Because he was in a position where he was a focal point for this team. He took the best offensive player on the other side. He played against the elite. He proved he could do it. Now, are there things in his game that need work? Yes, but summer league isn't necessarily the place for that. Now, if you want him to learn to play a different spot, like you did with Desmond Bain, that's a different story. But I think what you take out of it is the guys who stepped up that showed that they were capable of playing at this level, and when you had complementary pieces around, you know that, and you know the guys that did not. You know the guys that missed an opportunity, maybe because of injury, maybe because of something else. But I kind of look at it like this. This team, without a point guard, and look, Marcus Smart can facilitate, but he's not a pure point guard. Your playmaker, and everybody wants, that's why everybody's talking about the coaches. Well, the offense was this, the offense was that. The offense never had a guy to set it up the way it should
be. For nine games they did.
Yeah, and they look good. By the way, go look at those nine games and the numbers. The efficiency numbers are head and shoulders above what they were doing.
Why do you think that was?
Because it's funny how when you have a guy that can break down a defense and get into the lane, how things get a lot more open for everybody else.
Huh.
I distinctly remember a group, and it was probably five guys that were either end of the roster guys, because it was earlier in the season, so Roddy may have been a part of it, end of the roster guys, or guys that had been in the G League or not even in the NBA. And I forgot who they were playing, but the defense was good enough where they just put a 3-2 like shell zone, and they just said, we are not switching anything because we don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to beat us off the dribble enough to where you're going to get a great look. We're not going to leave our man. And it was like watching a varsity team teach a freshman team what the level you need to get to is. And that's not the fault of the guys there. That's why there's roster spots and guys that don't make it. I thought those guys played their hearts out all year long. I think some guys proved they can get a spot. Look, the guy that, to me, one of the biggest things that I took from this last month, Mal Pereira is a guy that can help a team. Maybe not every night, but if you had an injury and Mal Pereira can play that athletic and play that high above the rim and scrap like that, that's a guy who may have earned himself an opportunity at a two-way deal, at a end-of-the-roster contract. Those two-way deals get converted. There are other guys that played. Scottie Pippen Jr. certainly shown he can play, but I don't think you throw it away. I think you look at where guys like even Jaren can get better, but people are talking about, oh, shooting numbers or this or that. Well, yeah, he's running into a double and triple team every time he touches the ball. And he's trying to do everything because he didn't have anybody with him that he's used to having. So, Steve Kerr said it best earlier this year to answer your question in a very long version. We don't win a championship if we don't have the injury year and Jordan Poole and some of those other younger guys don't learn how to make plays in crunch time situation. I can count at least six or seven games where if the Grizzlies have a true point guard and one of the pieces that's out, whether it's Smart, Bane, Morant, Clark at the time, any of them, they win probably six or seven more games. Now you're knocking on the door of 500. Not a playoff team, but you're knocking on the door of playing 500 basketball without one of the most electrifying guards in the league pretty much all season.
So the one thing I'd terrible. Follow up with on that, and I'm curious, I don't know the answer to this, but I was thinking about it last night. Like, ultimately, there was a stretch of season where they had Marcus Smart, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr. at the beginning of the year, and the record was not good. I mean, obviously they were what were they? 5-19 ultimately without Ja, six and nineteen.
Yeah, and they had some. It was a bad start. Yeah, no doubt.
How much stock, if you know, because ultimately, other than the nine games Ja played, I think that's about as healthy as they've been this year. Even though they didn't have Steven Adams, they still didn't have Brandon Clark, didn't have a bunch of things.
Right.
How much, if you're the front office and you're evaluating this? And again, it's a tough evaluation job because of how few games you had anything resembling the team you thought you were going to have. How much stock do you put into that now that we're here, 60 games later or whatever, 55 games later?
I think on that, you saw that they were better later in the year having played alongside one another when Ja went down, mm-hmm. when you had that same group and healthy. And
well, you never really did ultimately because Smart got hurt right after. You know, it was like Ja got hurt, then Dez got hurt the next game, then Smart. You never really had Smart, Bane, and Jackson after Ja got hurt, really. It was, the next game they both got hurt ultimately. So it was really only that 25-game sample size ultimately of no Ja and those three. And I don't know the answer. Like, obviously, looking back, probably should have been better during those first 25 games.
Sure.
At the same time, we saw what a difference it looked like once Ja was in there and how different everything, sure. how much better everything just worked once he was back in there. And that's where I think it's going to be toughest for the front office is, like, how much stock do you put into anything that happened this season? I don't know the answer.
Well, I think you put something into the guys that played throughout it, like what Jaren did, what Gigi did, what – look, Jake LaRavia is basically at the end of his rookie season. And I know Peter Edmiston, I think somebody said earlier today, put out this list of guys who had big late mm-hmm. March, late April. I mean, Torrance Kinsey won Rookie of the Month in April and never played in the
Kenny
NBA.
Kenny Lofton Jr. had 42 points in a game at the end of last season, right?
Season? Both teams sat everybody. Yeah. So that's not what happened last night. Cleveland didn't sit everybody.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. And Jake shot it well. In fact, Donovan Mitchell referenced him by first name. He said, Jake was out there making a ton of shots and making it hard on us mm-hmm. when he was interviewed after the game. And so that was a totally different scenario to me. I don't put any stock in whatever happens in the final game of the year if you're playing nobody and they're playing nobody that's like part of the real pecking order. And that's what that game in Oklahoma City was, because both the Thunder and Grizzlies spots were set. You're not going to risk your guys. I think in that first 25, the stock in it you take is everybody has a feeling out process when you have a new piece mm-hmm. and when you're figuring out how to play without other pieces. So with that said, I think they got better. I think you look at that first 25 and say, there's no way that would happen again. one of those first 25 is again the same scenario we've talked about, where I still can't figure out how the NBA doesn't avoid this, where you play three games in four nights to open a season, and your third game is against a team that played on the Wednesday night and hasn't played since, and it's their home opener. That, I don't care who you are, you're probably going to lose that game, unless you're like the world champs or the talent level's just that great. Washington, who's not good, beat the ever-loving breaks off the Grizzlies because they ran out of gas. You're not used to playing full minutes, full regular season basketball that early, three and four nights, and your other team's sitting back waiting for you to arrive on a flight that you're getting in late. And by the way, the travel issue there too is Dulles is one of the hardest airports to get to your team hotel. So I'm not trying to make excuses. That was one of those scheduling things early where you're like, that's tough. Now they let some games slip through their fingers early in the year. But I think, again, that's part of the growing curve. How many times do we see teams get new star players that haven't played together before, especially one that might have the ball in his hands a bunch, and they don't? They're a team that's going to be a 50 to 60 win team, but they're 500 the first 10, 12 games, or you know, even longer than that. And everybody's hitting the panic button. Whoa, what's wrong here? Why aren't they just killing everybody? Why aren't they 15-1 in the first 16 instead of 8-8? Because it takes time to build that chemistry. So I think that's what you take from it. But you look forward to this. Everybody's talking about it. We'll see what they add in the draft. We'll see what happens with the draft lottery. We'll see what they feel like the need is in the offseason. I think you have to have a solid playmaking point guard as your lead backup. I'm not saying there's not a spot to look for like a Scottie Pippen Jr. to be on your roster one way or another, but he a playmaker, a Tyus Jones type, a guy that doesn't have to score. You have to have a guy that can facilitate the offense and feed the strengths of your secondary score if Ja's not available. So I just think those are the things you look for. I think you take this with a sense of frustration, like this was a nightmare in terms of injuries, but we got through it. Now we've got to be better for it. That's the attitude I take. You now, if you just let this roll off your back and don't get better for it, then you missed an opportunity. If you come out and feel sorry for yourself and don't learn from it, then you missed an opportunity. I don't foresee that happening, though.
Eric, we really appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Eric.
See you guys. Talk to you next week.